Welcome back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into some weird times. Before we get to Steelers and Ravens and COVID and who's playing and who's not and whether one of us will be trying out as quarterback of the Denver Broncos next week, I want to promote our friends at Taharka. You know, I hold up the ice cream all the time on the set. I'm actually wearing sweatpants here today. They're Everlast because it's going to be a long fight, Luke. But Taharka is delivering this box of love. And I noticed that, like, your mom had some Taharka ice cream last week. There's been some celebrating going on, Uncle Luke, in the Jones household. But this is where the ice cream sits. It comes delivered in a box. That's the little box I have over here. 8 of these delivered to you for just $40.30. You get the discount. You click on the Baltimore Positive on the Taharka Brothers. Home delivery, and, you know, I don't when are we going to get some home delivery football, Luke? This has been the strangest week. And you know, I've been through jurisprudence with, let's see, Ray Lewis, Jamal Lewis, Ray Rice, et cetera. We've been through CNN showing up after Ray Rice. We've had Super Bowls. We've lost AFC Championship. We've been through everything here. We had the Colin Kaepernick thing come through here. We had the knee. I've never really seen anything like this. Like, they really are sort of making this up as they go along, right?
Well, to some degree, yeah, because they haven't experienced anything like this. I mean, think about what our entire lives have been like in 2020. So, is it going to be any different in that way? I will say this, and I'm going to steal a line from Mike Tanier, a good friend of ours who's been on the program many times. We sat down with him at Radio Row. He had the tweet that he put out, I guess it was Saturday night, probably when talk of Kendall Hinton was first surfacing out of Denver with the Broncos not having any quarterbacks for Sunday. But he said, and I'm just going to read it verbatim, "One thing I have zero time nor energy for at this point in 2020 is a Twitter melodrama / anxiety attack over a football schedule. We're muddling through. Nothing is going to be perfect. We're lucky to be getting an NFL season in the same galaxy as, quote, normal." And that's something that resonated with me, Nestor. I mean, look, this week has been insane. There's no question about it. I mean, the Ravens haven't had a full practice since losing to the Tennessee Titans a week ago. They've been out of their building for the better part of a week. Heck, the local media hasn't had a chance to ask a question in the matter of a week while information leaks out to national reporters, but that's neither here nor there. It's been strange. It's been far from ideal. It's certainly been a strain on the organization from, I'm sure, the owner all the way down to support staff in the building, people that clean and serve food and things of that nature. So there's a heck of a lot going on. At the same time, in the same way that you just made mention to the NFL making it up as they go along, and I'm not going to sit here and sing the praises of everything they've done like they've done anything perfect, we're into week 12, and we've talked about football in a very normal capacity for 11 of those 12 weeks. Now, that's not to pat them on the back. That's not to say that the next 5 weeks are going to go any more smoothly than the first 11 went, but it is an acknowledgement of what we have said going back to March. If they were going to play a season, there were going to be things that went wrong. There was not going to be a full season where you didn't have players testing positive, including some star players, like as it turned out to be Lamar Jackson. We knew that there was going to be scenarios of teams having multiple players test positive at the same time. That's why the league introduced a 16-man practice squad. That's why the league introduced much more flexible roster maneuvering than what we normally see. So part of this, and I'm not trying to be flippant about this, because this was the agreement and the risk that was agreed upon to play football in the midst of a pandemic. But I can't sit here and say that any of this is so incredibly unexpected. It's just, from a Ravens perspective, you hoped it wasn't going to be them, in the same way that the Tennessee Titans didn't want it to be them earlier in the season. And it really does illustrate how difficult it is to pull this thing off. And it's why I've said over and over, and I wrote this at BaltimorePositive.com on Sunday night, that the league very much should have taken a cue from Major League Baseball when you saw the Miami Marlins have an outbreak that cost them 10 days. The St. Louis Cardinals had an outbreak that cost them 2.5 weeks. Instead of taking a cue from that and saying, you know what, we're not going to be able to do our typical 256-game, 17-week season with Thursday night games that are already a strain on teams. Let's modify this. We can still play 16 games, but let's keep the bye week. Let's add an open week in the middle of the season. Let's add an open week at the end of the season, and we're going to give ourselves scheduling outs. That way, when you're in this position where you're having to push back a game, and look, pushing back a game from Sunday to Monday, like we've seen on a couple of occasions, I don't think that's a major problem. But when you're kicking the can down the road and you already have a team that's missing as many starters as the Ravens will miss if this game does indeed get played on Tuesday night, for me, it's not even about Lamar Jackson and those guys being out, as much as that's, you know, puts the Ravens at a very clear disadvantage from a football standpoint. My point of contention, my point of concern here is, what about Robert Griffin III, who's going to be playing behind a patchwork offensive line? Isn't that a player safety issue if you haven't had a chance to practice the entire week? How about just from a conditioning standpoint? These guys have been locked out of their building for the better part of the last week. Isn't that a player safety concern? So everyone's focused on the competitive part of it, and I get that. I understand that. That's noble. But the reality is, Nestor, competitive balance, equality, fairness is really an elusive and arbitrary term that we talk about a lot, but it rarely plays out that
way. I know. I've seen the Orioles play.
but even think about this. Look at the Ravens this year. The 2020 schedule for the AFC North teams, they have the benefit of playing which division this year? The NFC East. That is god-awful. Can you imagine? Think about this if you're another team vying with the Ravens for a wild card matchup and they're facing the NFC West, for example. That's not fair, but
it's always baked in.
There's never equality. So look, this is a very extreme example. And look, I'm not sitting here saying to the Ravens, just suck it up and deal with it. But in some ways, there is some of that. But as has been the case all along, the NFL, from their perspective, whether you like it or not, this is about deeming an outbreak to be contained before you proceed playing. And that's the difference here between the Ravens game being pushed back and the Broncos playing without a quarterback on Sunday, because that was an isolated incident with one of their quarterbacks and the three other quarterbacks deciding to meet in the same room and not wear masks, as the Broncos discovered over the weekend. And you know, there was video of it. So,
well, you know, the amazing thing is I had a great conversation over the weekend with a friend of mine that's in the business space, and it wasn't for the on the air. It was just literally a coffee and catching up. And he really had no idea the measures that were being taken. Like, he's a fan. He loves sports, but he's very, very, like, busy with his work and running, you know, a serious company, that he's not, like, watching the NFL Network. Or even watching Baltimore Positive as I choke on my Rofo coffee. Hang on here. But, you know, I said we had Dick Cass on, and I've watched – I haven't been in the building. You have been near it closer than I on purpose. I mean, you know, you are our designated assignee. I've learned to live with not going to games and getting the box lunch on Sunday. And you're covering the team, and it's professionally what you do. And we're not necessary, mandatory, what was the word back in the spring when you could stay open or not. Give me the right word.
Essential.
You're essential, right? Wink, wink. I mean, I'm fully making fun of that. That's why I wanted to get the right word. Essential.
Right.
You're really essential.
Right.
But, and whether football's essential or not, you know, and I said, if they shut it down, there's a consumer confidence level that if we shut the NFL down, we have shut down Christmas, we have shut down the holidays, we have shut down December, that wouldn't be good for America, you know? And it always comes back to sort of this political pull, especially when I'm talking to folks like this about it. But I said, you know, they have evidence here, you know, and I know sometimes that's lost on some folks, like what evidence is, but like the Denver Broncos had videotape of their quarterbacks having a pillow party, you know, on a Tuesday, on an off day. And the league has essentially said, here's the middle finger, go play with your backup, you know, wide receiver, because we are not going to call the Saints and tell them they have to move and then tell their team that we're not doing that. that if it's on you and you're not keeping your house clean, you get to come and embarrass yourself and embarrass your brand and embarrass all of our brands by playing a game you shouldn't be playing, which we're about to do on Tuesday night here for everyone, right? So I don't know if there's not some sort of self-sabotage that I see and feel in it, certainly as a consumer, that if I was drinking this cup of Royal Farms coffee out of this fantastic coal roofing mug, and it were not of the standard that my friend Frank Schilling, the Kemp family, that Royal Farms wants in their coffee, they wouldn't want to serve it. And the same would be said for any of our sponsors, whether you're getting to Arca, that Planet Fitness has opened their gyms and they're opening it as an experience. And if the treadmill didn't work, they wouldn't be open, you know? Like, so for me with football and having watched that literal travesty, I mean, that Broncos game was a travesty. It was sanctioned by the league as a punishment to the Broncos organization for breaking the rules, of which they had videotape and evidence, not to mention the 6-foot wristbands, that my friend, the businessman, was astonished. No, I said, no, they have wristbands. If they're 6 feet away, it alerts them. It goes off because they're the NFL and they have $1 billion and they can outfit themselves with things that we used to get at the mall for laser tag, like literally, right? And you've seen more of this. Break that down for me a little bit, because like, what really is happening and what even, you know, what Peter King is reporting is the Ravens are willing to accept the medicine of their strength and conditioning coach, who was a full let them play for months about Pennsylvania football up where you live. And then apparently this is the epicenter, but there's no one wants to hold anybody accountable. To your point, there's been no press conference. There's been no story other than what's been leaked, which is we might have a football game on Tuesday, and we will if it punishes the Ravens, but not if it can endanger the Steelers. And we all know the outcome of the game before we go. But instead of forfeiting it, we're going to play through. And to your point, endanger play. Like, all of that just really smells bad, really, really bad to me. And I know it's not perfect, and I know competitive balance, and I know integrity, Luke. And I'll hear all parts of this. But if you can't sanction this coffee in the way that it's supposed to be brewed, in the way that it's supposed to be sold, then Justin Tucker will not be bragging about it, and nor will I. And there was something really stenchy about the Broncos thing, and I get it. You know, you guys broke the rules, but it's a plague, and it's a plague that's been politicized by the very owners who sanction these games and fund it.
And the players, by the way.
And the players.
You know, let's be fair.
Calais Campbell and Mark Andrews, what happened to them, if that happened in my house and my wife were sick, and tragedy were to ensue, we would have no one to blame but ourselves.
Sure, and those players had the option to opt out. And keep in mind, numerous players around the league did opt out. So, you know, I'm not going to just make it, you know, no one held a gun to these players' heads to say they had to play this year. So let's be clear about that. But, you know, I hear what you say, but what's the alternative? Just a forfeit? I mean, I'm asking you. You know, if you have that scenario,
I think if I'm the commissioner of the NFL at this point, this week, I would have suspended play.
For one game?
I would have moved this week back to week. I'm being honest with you. Like, I haven't sat around and you know, like, if you're play-doing this with me and we have a whiteboard and you're asking me, I would have really thought about, we need to shut these places down and send people home for a week or two, and we need to get a grip on this. And in order to get the last 5 weeks in, we may want to bubble this. And I would have played this out even more from the NFL perspective and milked it and thought, you know what? We probably should pod the last couple of weeks, get this thing in order. All the gambling will be handled. We'll play football 7 nights a week. There are no bowl games. We have the whole calendar of January and February. We'll have Los Angeles weather. We'll have the best doctors in the world. And we're going to get the Players Association to sign on for this, because we can't have 200 cases next week of COVID in our league. Like, we just can't have that. and we're not going to be able to play on December the 10th, December the 17th, December the 24th. But they are bulldozers against the plague. They have really not taken this as seriously as they should. I think by and large, the coaches and the people in the front offices, there's a lot more red-leaning politics that looks at some of this as a ruse to some degree. And I think, or is led to believe that all day long. Let me finish. Believe that all day long. I think that there still is that goes on everywhere in our culture in this transition phase where the guy who's still the president of the United States behaves in the way he behaves. So I think shutting the league down is a really difficult, crazy ass decision. But let's see where they are in 3 weeks, okay? Let's see where they are in 3 weeks when they continue to play these Eddie Fainer games. They've now, they popped the tourniquet on it, right? Like, they played a game without a quarterback in the league, a game that the guy who's the quarterback doesn't even know the guys on the team. He doesn't know the plays, and they sanctioned it. And, you know, if it were a religion – if the NFL were religion, there would be like dogs and cats and lightning and rain, and it would be that scene in the movie where Fonzie goes up in the air over the shark. And you say, really? I mean, really? Really? That's what I would say. And on Tuesday night when I'm watching this farce, I'm going to think the same thing. Like, you want to punish the Ravens for catching the plague and their trainer for being a dodo and not following. I hear all of that, but you're putting this on television. You're letting the kids see this, and you're signing on for this. And so, Lord, have at it.
The kids seeing this.
That's me being
funny. You're being a little melodromatic there.
I'm letting you have a laugh.
How many games have been lost? How many games have been lost due to cancellation this year?
You can't even do comedy around here anymore during a plague. You know?
I mean, I'm asking you, how many games have been lost due to cancellation this year? Lost. Like, how many? What kind of backlog of games do we have at the end of the season that we have to make up?
Well, zero now because they moved the Titans and the Ravens and the Steelers and the they moved the Ravens and the Steelers twice now.
Yeah? And you didn't think that was going to happen at the beginning of the year?
There's no doubt about it. This was ill-conceived, Luke. I talked about it all during July and August. Like,
So you're just reverting to your original position that they should never play?
No, my position is that they should be more flexible than to send a National Football League team out without a quarterback to play.
That's where I draw the line.
That's where I stop the movie and say, hold on, fellas. This is the National Football League. This is where I get all Michael Irvin and or break all prime time. This is the National Football League. You know, this is where if I'm Rich Eisen, I'm sitting on the set saying, come on, dude, straighten my tie, saying, you want me to sanction this? Sean Payton is going to go out and play. I mean, and then I hear Vic Fangio falling short, and I get it, Vic saying, you know, our quarterbacks let us down, our play. And I get all of that, but they played the game. And it's a stain on the league. I mean, to play, it's not a stain on the league to get the plague, to have the plague, to have a bunch of quarterbacks not take it serious. That's not a stain on the league. The stain on the league is when you play and sanction a game that should not have been played. I mean, come on, man. I mean, don't get Stockholm syndrome so much on me that we got to get the game in buff.
That's ridiculous.
Come on.
Stockholm syndrome. Get a hold of yourself.
Get the game on. We got to get the game in. I mean, what are we doing on Tuesday night? What are they doing in Pittsburgh? Seriously, what are they doing?
Did the NFL cancel games when Tom Matty had to play quarterback for the Colts in the mid-60s? I mean, I'm just asking you.
It wasn't a plague. It wasn't a contagious
Did
virus.
Maryland just fold up and end its Nestor, no one's saying the players that have the virus should be playing.
I'm saying they should be sanctioning real NFL games and not
– And every single one in the league has been that other than this one that you're talking about. So this is grounds for it all being a colossal failure.
No, it's not a colossal failure. No. I'm saying it's starting to really fall down the hill.
It's happened
that you now have stepped out of the plank and played a football game without a quarterback. And then on Tuesday night, you're going to play a football game without a team. I mean, literally, dude. What, how many players do they have on their roster? Let's bring this back in the local instead of you and me having a bar fight, because it's like, you know, I sat and watched it on Sunday, and I cringed for the forefathers of the league, and I cringed for people who gamble
on
this.
You do realize that punters have played at quarterback for teams before. 1999, Tom Tupa, after Vinny Testaverde and Rick Meyer get hurt, played quarterback.
Tom Tupa was a hell of a quarterback.
You're acting like this is something.
Tom Tupa took snaps. Tupa ran scout. I promise you. I'll call Belichick. Kevin Byrne will back me up on that.
But my point is, you're acting like that kind of thing has never happened in the history of the league.
I'm trying to provide at least some comedy to this, but I'm not being comedic. I mean, I don't think it should be sanctioned. And there were forces on Twitter that I saw, and I believe this, that if the Broncos had been owned by someone else, someone who had some teeth on Park Avenue, they wouldn't have let that happen. And I think Bisciotti has sort of, you know, Pontius piloted this and just said, you know what, man, we're going to take our medicine. We were dirty. It's our fault, our bad. We'll go up and sacrifice and play the game and run around with RG3 and hope that Cam Hayward doesn't land on him. Now, I don't know what to say, man. Like, I mean, what's the spread on the game Tuesday night?
You
know what
I mean? Minus 10. What was the spread? I mean, look, I hear you, but so let me ask you this.
And by the way, they're still popping dirty tests on Sunday afternoon, right? Like,
see, if you want to talk about that part of it, yeah, I'll hear you. But just so what's the line then, Nestor? Because you've asked me this, and I've never have an idea how to answer.
I don't know where the line is, but the line is you don't go play a game without a quarterback.
But
I mean,
you have to have a line, though, is my point.
Well, they wrote in all the bylaws back in the spring that this was going to be the way it is, not really realizing that Roger would have to sit there and watch a team play without it. And I don't think Roger gives a flying F. I mean, I think it's about getting the game in. I mean, I love how they've moved the Cowboy game to the 5 o'clock to have a doubleheader. And look, I'm all for making money. I'm the one that says they should bubble down, play real games, put them on in prime time, turn it into a World Cup, move the Super Bowl to St. Patrick's Day weekend, spread the thing out, tell these guys they have to leave their families for 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. It's like being in the military. Hockey did it. Basketball did it. Baseball, in the end, had to do it. And if they want to have integrity, and if I were standing up and I were Steve Bisciotti or I were Dick Cass and I were in the middle of this, I'd say, Roger, we're not sending 31 players up to Pittsburgh to play
a
10-0 football
game. Day roster. They're going to have a full game day roster, though.
Full of whom?
So, again, you keep doing this. What's the line? Is it just because Lamar Jackson?
The line's right here. The line's right here right now. This was the line. This was the line.
You're being
arbitrary. The Denver game was the line.
Okay, so what do you tell the Saints then?
Add a week at the end. Add a week at the end. And, you know, when teams hit a threshold that is reasonable amongst reasonable people.
You're still missing the narrative. You're missing the punch.
That the game must go on? That's the narrative.
No, it's not. It has to do with transmission of the virus. If all of these players for the Ravens tested positive on Monday and Tuesday, and then it cleaned up on Wednesday. Now, I would absolutely say move the game from Thursday to Sunday, no question about it. But if you have your remaining players, because if you're just going to cancel it every time a team has some players that are missing game, why do you have a 16-man practice squad then? Like, why'd you waste your time with that and IR designated to return rules being – they agreed to that part of it. This continues to come back to is there an
outbreak?
A poorly
designed strategy by the elders in the summer before the plague that they didn't believe in beset the community. Literally. How's that? Did I do good?
I guess.
Yeah, I think that's really what it was. They sat and came up with – legalese, and now they're going to go through with it, even though it's a dumb idea, even though it's really not a good idea.
Okay.
That's how I feel about it. Playing that football game on Sunday was not a good idea.
Okay.
And if they play three more next week and six more like that the week after, then we've got Eddie Fainer. So therefore, they should have never have done it once, because they should have said someone named Rooney or dude, I'm not being like a dick here. Someone named Hallis or Rooney or Madden or Tagliabue, a grown up. Someone should have, not Jerry Jones, not, but that's what they have. Someone should have stood up and said, come on, man. I mean, we've built a brand off of being a premium product that cares about blah, 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 blah. America, the flag, black people, white people, children, women. They care about everybody, but they're going to go send a backup wide receiver out to play quarterback and then feed that on the internet and out on Red Zone to the world and call it their product. I call phooey. I just call phooey. I do. This is where the movie stops for me, and it's Adam Sandler, and it's Happy Gilmore, and it's The Waterboy, and it's no longer the National Football League. It's now an exhibition. The game has started, and the other team has no possibility not only of winning, but of going 1-for-9 with 2 interceptions on offense and having a Blutarski, to quote Peter King, a 0.0 quarterback rating, that they sanction that. I don't need you to pass the purity test, but that's below the bar, right, John Harbaugh? Below the bar?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, and I wrote in my lead at BaltimorePositive.com, that was the NFL's jump the shark moment. But again, you're not other than just saying shut the league down.
Well, now that they're off the shark, I mean, they would play 3 games next week without quarterbacks or without defense. I mean, now there's nothing to sort of stop, I guess. I mean, they're going to play. They're just going to play.
Well, but
I said, what if Lamar Jackson gets it back in August? Yeah. That would have been a showstopper. No. What if half the team gets it with Lamar? No. What if Calais Campbell's on a respirator by Friday? No. I don't know. I really don't know what will stop the train right now. But I know I'm revolted by it to some degree. I'm revolted that they haven't said, whoa, stop everything here. We can do better than this. Not we can do this now. We can do better than this. And I think they could do better than this. I really do. If Dick Casper's sitting in front of me and Steve, and if I'm sitting around the pool having shrimp cocktail with Roger Goodell, which I've done a dozen times, I'd say y'all could do better than this. This isn't good enough.
Fair enough. I can respect that. And look, as I said, I thought it was their jump the shark moment, but I also am realizing the challenge that's being presented to them to try to do this.
Monumental. And they have the money and they have the time to deal with it appropriately, unlike a lot of other people who don't.
Sure. But I also, and we've said this all along, I'm not going to compare it to the NBA and the NHL. The NBA and the NHL shut down their entire operation for 4 months, and they were playing their postseason. To put the NFL in a bubble for an entire season was never an option. I mean, it's just, I don't think people understand how many people, how many resources would go into trying to do something that, let alone the human element of not talking about these guys being away from their families for 4 to 6 weeks, which was most of the teams in the bubble. Okay, you could talk about the Lakers who ended up winning it all in the Heat, a little bit longer than that. But just the sheer manpower, you might the NBA, you can have, I don't know, 45, 50 maybe for an entire organization. You're talking hundreds for any NFL team to be in a bubble. So that was always
The reality of that would be like seeing what Westminster was, right? In
right,
microcosm,
sure, no question.
But, right.
No question. No, that's actually a very good example there. But you're talking about hundreds. You're talking about the players. So that's 53 plus the practice squad. You're talking about the coaches, which is 20 to 30 in it for most organizations. You're talking about equipment guys. You're talking about trainers. You're talking about people that are going to be handling, their food and things, because if they're in a bubble, they're going to need people doing those things. So you're talking about hundreds of people. So, and we've talked about the possibility of a bubble for the postseason. I think that's a great idea, especially at this point now where you're talking about maybe.
Well, that was my point. My point is if I'm the commissioner on the eve of Thanksgiving, I would say, you know what? We're going to get through these games. We're going to suspend everything. We're going to send everybody home. We're going to think this thing through for 3 or 4 weeks, get everybody healthy, see where the country is, and we're going to move the Super Bowl back. We're going to move our programming back. All of our sponsors, hang on. We're doing the right thing for America. We're doing the right thing for our players. We're doing the right thing for gamblers and our fans by stopping this so we're not playing football games like what we witnessed on Sunday. That's all, because I don't think it's going to get better, Luke. I'm going to take a break. Luke is here. Luke and I are going to be arguing all day, all week, before Tuesday night, if they play, when they play. Of course they're going to play. It's a television event. And then the shortened week for the Cowboys. I have Cowboy Mania later on this week. Don Mueller's got stuff going on. We have merged WNST and Baltimore Positive into one place. To celebrate that, we're selling ice cream this month. We want you to buy some ice cream. Jen did an ad for the first time in 17 years. Jen loves the ice cream.
Very cool.
I said, why don't you do the ad? People are tired of hearing me. So Jen's going to be heard all over WNST all month. The Mint Flicks and Chills, by the way, this is Chris Pike's favorite flavor, he and his wife. So I delivered some of this to their door. Dark delivers to your door in these beautiful pink boxes. The truck pulls up. You have to be there because, like, it's ice cream. It melts. The code is Baltimore Positive. We'll be telling you all month long. It's a $56 value for $40 and a little bit of change. And you take care of some good folks. And I'm going to tell you what. 8 flavors. If sweet potato crumble is not one of them, you're missing out. But I would say that about the pistachio. I'd say that about the honey graham. I definitely would say that about the pumpkin spice latte. And there's only a little bit of that left. You got to act on that right away. Pumpkin spice latte. Taharka Brothers coming together with us, doing some good stuff and some social change here. Luke and I are going to be fighting. I mean, we really disagree about this. So
I don't think we disagree nearly as much as you think. It's just
We'll come back and talk more about it.
Think the Broncos playing without a quarterback is the disgrace of all disgraces, that the NFL has had legitimate disgraceful happenings.
Oh, well, then write down the next three. Write down the three that don't involve cheating or Bubba Smith fixing Super Bowl III. Hang on.
Domestic violence.
Fair enough. I saw Tariq Hill.
Let's take a deep breath. Let's take a deep breath. That's kind of my – it'll be okay.
Luke.
The league is going to go on.
I am Nestor. The Ravens are going to play in Pittsburgh. They're going to get cremated. Maybe. And it's not going to be fun. And I'm gonna like it even less after we get our ass kicked. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Support our sponsors. It's really important. And stay local. We never stop talking. Baltimore Positive. And who's going to play quarterback?